today on Real Radio.
Don't be a monk. Nowhere in the Bible it calls us to be a monk. If you know a monk, I'm not slamming your monk. I'm not making fun of your monk. I'm just telling you right now, Jesus saves us, the Holy Spirit indwells us, we are empowered by God, and He sends us back into the world.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In our Biblical Worldview Series and the Church Part 2, Pastor Jack continues by describing the church as a living, spiritual body and not the structure or building in which we gather. It's made up of individuals who have come to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He alone is our salvation. Today, Pastor Jack again warns us to understand that the Bible is very clear on what the church is and what it should be doing. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus commissions us to proclaim the gospel through the world and live faithfully in Him. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
We say we love God, and we do. We love His Word, and we study it. But many of us are still bound by an emotional state of theology, where our emotions trump our theology. Our theology should trump our emotions. See, what do you mean? What do you mean? Just like this. And no one warded this off better than Paul the Apostle, in my opinion. Watch this. Here's how we are. We're walking with Jesus, things are going great, and we're walking in the Spirit, and it's an exciting day, and we're just waiting for the next divine opportunity. It doesn't matter if we're in the boardroom trying to pitch that idea or on the construction site. It doesn't matter. Our faith transcends all that stuff. And at any moment, we're ready. Lord, I'm ready. I woke up, and I'm ready, God, and I've dedicated my life to You, and I'm ready. And you're living your life like that. And then, you know what? You turn and you slam your finger in the door. And some word comes out of your mouth that you have not yet gotten control over yet. And you love God. And you slam your finger in the door and, oh, man, which that's not it, but I'm just saying. And then watch what happens. Watch, Lord, that was wrong of me. Lord, please forgive me. Watch this now. Lord, please forgive me. In Jesus' name, Your word says if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I'm sorry. Give me the strength to overcome that weakness in my life right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Jerk. Bam. I'm the worst. I'm just the worst. I can't believe it. You know what? I can't even... Oh, man, I can't, I'm sure, I'm probably going to hell now. God, did You really forget? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what? It's like you're flogging yourself. Oh, I know I asked You to forgive me, but just let me bleed a little. Because if I can flog myself, then there's a sense where my emotions feel better because I've paid for that sin. And oh, by the way, I know I feel better, Lord, but I know I'm calling Jesus a liar because He didn't die for all my sins. I'm helping Him out right now. And that's what 1 John says. If we say that we have no sin, we make God out to be a liar. And if we don't confess our sin, we walk in the sin. See, our emotions say, oh, I feel better when I have to go through some sort of penitence to earn God's grace. Impossible. Grace cannot be earned. So what am I supposed to do? Your love and loyalty to Christ and your faithfulness to Christ is to believe His word. And when He says, confess your sins, ek homologeo, I said this just recently, out of the same mouth, out of the same word that He says about it. Lord, that was wrong of me. I ask You to forgive me. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know what? Right then and there, you just get right back in the saddle and you praise the Lord. And you know what? Paul was amazing. Paul the Apostle put it this way. He said, when I sin, it is no longer I who sin, but it's the sin that's within me. I'm a new man. That's the old Paul who does that stuff. Isn't it crazy? Think about it. It's amazing. Paul the Apostle would say, hey, that wasn't right. Lord, forgive me. You, what? You're the old Paul. You're the Paul before Jesus, I knew Jesus. You are the old man. Remember the book of Romans calls him the old man? You are crucified with Christ, dude. You're dead. The life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And you say, well, man, you're crazy. Listen, there's two people talking out of one life. That's right. And everybody knows it. There's the you who's nuts about Jesus. You love Jesus. And then there's that other stinking part of you and I that rears its head up. We think it's dead. And then we just give them opportunity. Oh, man, I can't believe it. And it starts waking up. Yeah. Assert yourself. Let your voice be heard. Punch that guy. And you got to go, no, that... The flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. The Bible says, only believers know what I'm talking about. And apparently there's a lot of believers out there tonight. And that's good. In Mark 1:16, the Bible says, and as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother. So Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. That's faithful to Jesus. Follow him. You say, well, how long? All the way. When? Now. How many times in a day? All day long. Follow him. Following leads to separation. I want to say this carefully. Following leads to separation from the world while we were yet in the world. Did you hear what I said? It is important that none of us sign up to be monks. Don't be a monk. Nowhere in the Bible it calls us to be a monk. If you know a monk, I'm not slamming your monk. I'm not making fun of your monk. I'm just telling you right now. Jesus saves us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We are empowered by God, and he sends us back into the world. Amen. And that's power. Nowhere are we supposed to accept Christ, climb a mountaintop, sit there, and be separate from that evil old world. We've already been separated from that evil old world. And then, listen, he galvanizes us. I love that word. You can take a piece of trash and galvanize it, and it's powerful. He galvanizes us and then sends us back into the world. That's how your family gets saved. You notice that? I mean, it takes family a long time to come to faith in Christ because they know you. It's hard to witness to family. That's how your coworkers get saved. God galvanizes you and sends you back into the world. It's amazing. It's awesome, actually. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people. Listen, faithfulness to Jesus. For, he says, and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Look at that. Pursue peace with all people. By the way, it's a great statement. Distribute. The word that is not compromise. Pursue peace with all people. Just peace. We have a council of peace. Have you noticed those things? We have a council of peace. Let's meet and have a council of peace. And the only way that you can have a council of peace is if you don't stand for what you believe in. Everyone comes together and says, we're all going to compromise and compromise our values and our beliefs and our scripture. No, the Bible... Pursue peace with all people. Listen, God has called you and I to be peacemakers, not compromisers. There's a big difference. Big difference. Look, and holiness, without which, what? Without holiness and without the pursuit of peace coming out of our lives as peacemakers, no one's going to see the Lord. That statement means that Christians, this is what they do. You'll find Christians pursuing peace and holiness in their life. That's what the church is. Well, Pastor, I've been burned, man. The last church I went to, everything was all messed up. I'm sorry for that. But it doesn't let you off the hook on being part of the church universally. God says that we're to walk in holiness and we're to pursue peace. And it's so serious. He says no one's going to see the Lord without that. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, the Bible says, "For the love of Christ compels us." That's an unfortunate word, compelled. The word actually in the Greek means, "For the love of Christ has arrested us." Isn't that great? Has seized us. You could say, "The love of Christ has captured us." That's better. What does that mean? Listen, when we're faithful as a church, living for Jesus, you know how we prayed for the people just a little while ago in Sacramento, making lunatic? Love them, and you pray for them. Why? Because the love of Christ has arrested us. And one of the amazing things about being a Christian is people who you didn't like before, in fact, people before you're a Christian, you hated them. And then you get saved, God begins to work on your life, and you wind up having compassion toward a person, and you're wondering, why do I care? Why should I bother? But I wanna. Because God cares for them. Isn't that cool? That's the church. The next thing, third, is this, serving one another. See, that's like obvious. Yeah, I know, but listen, the Bible tells us very clearly that we're to be serving one another. What does that look like? Well, here's the cool thing. Now watch this, everybody. The church, you could say like this. Well, I go to church, and I put a nickel in the offering, and I sing. I go to church, so let the church take care of people. But that doesn't make any sense. Because we just got done saying that the church is not a building. What you're really saying is, I come, let someone else take care of them. That's what we're saying. And that's not the church. The church is us who we say, let's care for one another. Let's love on each other. I told you this before. I've painted this picture for you before. I think I might have even showed you this cartoon before. You know those two little chipmunks that we grew up with? Those little things, those little guys, they were so nice. The little guys, is it Chip and Dale or Fred and Barney or whatever they are? And they're so nice to each other. They're opening the door, no, you climb the tree first. Oh, no, you climb the tree first. I mean, they're just so nice, they kind of make you sick, these two little things, you know? Courtesy, kindness, serving on one another. The church, within the church first, listen, it is true and it is a fact. Number one, the church, any local church, is to target itself and minister to itself. Don't think that's strange. It should target itself first before it targets anyone else for love and for care. Let me explain. The Bible says in Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially, the word is primarily first, to those who are of the household of faith. Did you know that? You take care of your own first, that is, the church is to take care of itself. And that shouldn't surprise you, because if you get a cut on your finger, your brain says, we got a cut. And the brain picks up the communication line and says, hey, let's get some antibodies down there. He just cut his finger on an old rusty thing. Let's send some troops in there to fight off any infection. Start shutting things down over in that area. Send some help over there. Let's get some cells. Start working, putting the body back together. You guys, I walked into a pine tree one time. I was holding my daughter, and it was very dark at night. Ashley was just a little tiny thing, so that makes this thing like 26 years ago. I'm walking down the street. It was pitch black dark, and I was talking to her, and I looked up, and at that moment, this pine tree branch was hanging down, and the pine needle of that tree went right in my eyeball. Boom! Knocked me flat on my back. And I thought my brain was on fire. It hurt so bad, I can't even tell you. Actually, it was the worst pain I've ever had in my life. Couldn't believe it. I had to go to the emergency, and it was horrible. And I wouldn't let the doctor near my eye, and then he just finally said, listen, I got to do this. And he put like this tube, this cylinder over my eye and he just poured in all this stuff and moved it, and it made my eyelid forced it open, made it move open, and that's whatever it was, that stuff got in there, and it was instant release. Oh, felt so great. And am I going to go blind? I mean, I couldn't see a thing. And you know what he said? He said, in about 24 hours, you'll have major improvement, almost be like brand new. I go, how can that be? He goes, because that membrane of cells, they've already gone to work to patch up that hole. Your cornea, it's on it, man. That's a miracle. And if the body can do that, can't the body of Christ do that? Someone's hurting. Call in the troops. There's a ministry here. Nobody knows about it. It's like super secret. It is. They move in the shadows, these guys. They're very wealthy people. They don't want anybody to know who they are. And they, as the Lord leads them, I don't tell them a thing. They get a hold of me. They say, hey, we've been praying. I think there's five of them. I call them men in black. I do. They say, hey, we've been praying, and we want to make sure that three kids go to camp. We've been praying. We want to make sure that lady's taken care of regarding her illness. Who are these guys? You say, oh, I want to know that. Isn't that precious? That's exactly how. You say, well, I can't do that. Maybe you can't. But you can pray. You can love. These guys are all over the world all the time anyway. They can't be here much. But we get to lay hands on people and pray for them. You see how the body of Christ comes together? Serving one another. And then, listen. If you ever want to read a great book on service and ministry, a ministry training manual better than anything you can ever buy on any book or anybody's publication, it's the book of Nehemiah. You ought to read it sometime. It is the book on church leadership. The book of Nehemiah. And you know what's great? The book of Nehemiah is all about waging a battle while trying to get something done for God. And listen, here's what's cool. The more you battle for the glory of God, you look around and see who's with you in the battle, the more knit together you become with that person or people. When a church goes through difficulty for the glory of Jesus, not for the glory of a man or for a movement or for this or for that, but when a church goes through difficulty for the glory of God, you can't separate those people. Amen. Why? Because they have fought together. They've warred together. Try to separate members of Delta Force or the SEALs. Try to separate someone who's gone through a traumatic situation. Yeah, it's rough. It's tough at the start. But once through it, there's a bond that cannot be bought. There's a bond that cannot be had any other way. That's why it's a dangerous thing if we're as Christians and we have a shallow life. Well, my life's been so simple, so easy. I've had no real bumps in my life. Number one, that's kind of spooky, but then number two, we're all going to go home with you tonight and take it easy. We're going to have difficult times. And fourth, we end with this. Worshiping God for realsies. I mean, look at the next. Is that how you spell it? I don't know. Worshiping God for realsies. Somehow there's a Greek or Hebrew word in there somewhere. Jesus said in John 4:23, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Listen, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must. It's not a command. How about this? For those who worship him, they have to. They can't wait to worship in spirit and in truth. What does that look like? To worship him in spirit? Listen, the word means to worship God. It's lowercase s. It's our spirit, not Holy Spirit. It's to worship God with all of our very being. It's exactly what Paul was saying in Acts 17:28. We live and move in him, and we have our being. It's to worship God with your total person. And then what about truth? to worship God biblically. The Christian, we have the truth. And I believe personally, not everyone is one to Christ by preaching the gospel. Not everyone is one to Christ by us being faithful witnesses. Not everyone is one to Christ by, the crusade or the outreach. Did you know that there are people who've been won to Christ and walking into a worship service and they are touched by the worship to worship God? What's the church supposed to be doing? Worshiping God. I'm going to ask you to just right now to prepare your hearts for worship. Now look, for some people, that's the code word for it. It's time to get in my car and leave. So go, hurry. But for those of us who want to worship the Lord, I'm going to ask you right now, I'm going to have the worship team come out, and I want you to prepare your heart. Listen to this. Paul said to Timothy, regarding his knowledge of God, he said, I have been persuaded by the one I believe in. Paul says, this is an awesome word, you guys. Especially you young people tonight, listen to this. Paul is saying, I have argued, contended, scrutinized the facts. I did an analysis. I interviewed the witnesses. I've looked logically. I exhausted every opportunity on the human side of things, and I've come to this conclusion. It is a reasonable thing for me now to put my faith in God. I have been persuaded. Have you been persuaded?
Yes.
And so Paul says, and this is the last verse. You won't see it on the screen. I don't want you to write it down. Don't put it up. Just, you can even close your eyes. Let this wash over you. You want to be a real, relevant Christian church? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable. Perfect. Father, as we come here tonight, as we are about to be infused back out into the world from whence we came, you would have us to view church and the fellowship of the saints here and now as the nearest thing to heaven, the closest thing to heaven, to love one another, to care for one another, to reach out. And we would make this worship praise, prayer, and adoration.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Our Biblical Worldview and the Church, Part 2. Thanks for listening today. It is Pastor Jack's desire that you would pursue uncompromising peace with all people, but that you would lean on other believers, solid believers, when you're dealing with the great battles in life. Today's lesson was just one in our series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues with a biblical lens, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you know if you ever miss a radio program here on Real Radio, it's real easy to catch up. Let's say we're in the middle of a series and you're kind of catching us halfway through or partway through anyway, and you want to catch up on what you might have missed, or maybe you want to share it with a friend. It's real easy to do. Just simply go to our website. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And a few points, a few clicks, you'll be catching up with the lessons in no time at all. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.